Once again, I want to welcome you to New City. My name is Kevin Ha. I'm one of the pastors here at the church, and I want to wish all of you a very happy Thanksgiving. So we're in the second week, and as I said, the final week of our short stewardship series, Own the Vision. We finished the series on the vision of the church entitled The Way of Jesus a couple of weeks back, and it's one thing to talk about the vision, and it's another thing to own the vision, to apply it to our lives. The way we apply it to our lives is to steward what God has given us for the vision that God has given us. You know, people talk about the three T's, time, talent, and treasures. And in fact, that's what we talked about last year in last year's stewardship series. But today, I want to focus on the heart posture that enables us to steward our resources for the way of Jesus. And that heart posture is gratitude. In the sermon entitled Practicing Gratitude, this theme goes well because today is also the Thanksgiving Sunday. The passage for today is short, but profound. It's just one verse. We're going to be reading 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. So we're going to be talking about three things. Number one, why giving thanks is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. And secondly, what it means to give thanks in all circumstances. And number three, how to practice gratitude. So that's where we're going. So first, why is giving thanks God's will for you in Christ Jesus? See, in order for you to give thanks, or I guess when you give thanks, you're essentially saying two things. You're affirming goodness in your life. You're saying something good exists or something good happened. And secondly, you're recognizing that the source of this goodness lies at least partially outside of yourself. So it's not all about yourself and what you have done. It comes at least partially from outside of yourself. That's why you're thankful. So why is gratitude God's will for you in Christ Jesus? You're essentially affirming God's presence, God's love, God's beauty, God's gift, God's grace in your life. There's something good in your life that you are not responsible for. And we'll talk about the bad things, how we give things in every circumstances later. But for now, let's just focus on the reality of the presence of goodness in your life. God created beauty. God has created the universe, the world. You know, if you just stop and look around, take a moment to notice God created a beautiful world. The sun, the stars, moon, the air that we breathe, trees, flowers, grass, mountains, snow, rain, ocean, wave. You know, I just went on a motorcycle trip to up PCH to San Francisco with Grace. She was following me in a car. She rode with me on a bike from time to time, but she didn't want to be my biker chick all the way up to San Francisco. So anyway, have you ever driven up the PCH to Big Sur and San Francisco? It's absolutely stunning. To me, riding a motorcycle on PCH was part thrilling because I could easily die. And part worship and giving thanks for his beauty. Let's take time to appreciate the master artist's work. Let's give thanks to God. It's not just the creation. God created you. God created you in his image. God created you beautiful. God gave you a mind to understand the world and fathom the mysteries of God. He gave you emotions to experience love and embrace, not only from God, but also from one another. He gave you a body that is so intricate and beautiful that nothing in the world can ever come close to the beauty of your body. And I'm not just talking about human beings in general. God created you singular, beautiful. He formed you with the plan. He created you exactly the way he meant to create you. He knows even the number of your hair. We all have our differences, different personalities, different abilities, different passions, different interests, different ethnicities. God created you to be unique. God didn't create you to compare yourself to other people. He didn't create you to pretend to be someone else that someone else wanted you to be. He created you to be you, the way you are. And you know what? God doesn't make mistakes. God loves you. You are the work of his hands. So give thanks for the beauty of who you are. But I know that some of us, most of us, all of us have made a mess of ourselves. I know that we have smeared and destroyed the beauty that God has created in the world and in us. We have hurt ourselves and others in the world. And we don't even see the beauty that is in us. The beauty that's in the people around us and the beauty that is in the world. But the gospel is that through Jesus Christ, we have been made into a new creation. I think this is what Paul is talking about. And that's why he says, this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. He goes and, you know, it's a fully thought out sentence. Jesus came and died for you to redeem you, to save you, to give you a new life, a hope, a new purpose, freedom, love, community, embrace, all these things by grace. And the word grace simply means a gift. It is a gift, not a reward. For your work, not a wage for your work. You see, the only response to the gospel is to say thank you. The gospel is not if you get your life straight and redeem yourself, God will accept you. You know, if that's the gospel, if you're redeemed by your effort to change yourself, why would you need to thank God? You know, you just got what you deserve. You should just thank yourself and live in pride. But we thank God in Christ Jesus because it is all grace. It's all by grace, not our works. Everything came by grace. It is the gift of God. And when we receive a gift, we say thank you. You know, and it's not just our salvation, it's our transformation as well. A transformation comes by grace as well. As we live in his gracious presence, the Spirit of God transforms us. That's why giving thanks is the will of God in Christ Jesus. Second, what does it mean to give thanks in all circumstances? You know, the circumstances of this year has been rough, particularly bad. It's been a difficult year. The pandemic is getting worse. Some of our family members are getting the virus and some are sick. Over 12 million people have gotten COVID and over 255,000 people in the United States have died. There's been an increase in mental illnesses like depression and anxiety during the pandemic. We think more about death, pain, and frailty of life. The kids are at home, which is stressing out a lot of parents, and a lot of kids are having difficulties learning online. And then there's this major recession going on. Some of us have lost our jobs. Some of us are having a hard time making ends meet. This has been a particularly difficult time for those who are marginalized, people without papers. On the top of all this, this year has been a year of reckoning with the reality of racial and economic injustice. The veil of equality has been ripped open, and we see the reality of oppression and racism continuing. And top of all that, this has been an unreal election season, not to mention the massive fires during the summer. How do we give thanks in these circumstances? How do we give thanks when we or a family member gets COVID? How do we give thanks when we lose our jobs? How do we give thanks when we have broken relationships? I want you to notice that the passage says to give thanks in all circumstances. It doesn't say give thanks for all circumstances. I don't think it's saying you should thank God if you get COVID, if you get sick, if you lose your job. Well, maybe some job you should thank God. I don't think it's saying give thanks indiscriminately for bad things. In fact, when bad things happened, the people in the Bible lamented to God. They complained to God. Then what does it mean to give thanks in all circumstances? It means that there's always things we can thank God in all circumstances. It doesn't mean we live in denial of the reality of life's pain and sorrows. It doesn't mean just pretend like everything is okay. You know, that's what you say to children in movies when they're scared. Everything's going to be okay. I often hear that and I'm thinking to myself, how do you know? But it means to notice, even in the pain and sorrow, there is beauty, joy, goodness, and truth that is often overlooked. Gratitude actually opens the door to a more expansive view of reality. You know, I remember when I was in high school, I tried on my friend's glasses just for fun. And I was literally shocked. I didn't know you can actually see leaves on trees. I didn't know you could actually see the weaves of a carpet. I didn't know that our carpet was so dirty. I thought the reality was the way I saw the world before I had glasses. But when I put on, you know, when I got new prescription after that, you know, got a prescription, my first prescription, and put on my glasses, my view of reality became more expansive. So to give thanks means to make the effort to see that which is often overlooked when things are difficult. You know, I love what Viktor Frankl, a Holocaust survivor, wrote an awesome book. He said this, he said, you cannot control what happens to you in life, but you can always control what you will feel and do about what happens to you. See, the reality is objective. But you know, how you interpret or how you see reality is often subjective. You can see the situation with a more expansive view of reality. You can be devastated when you get laid off from work or grateful for the chance at a new start in your career. Or you can be bitter when your girlfriend cheats on you, or grateful that you don't have to waste your time believing that she's something she's not. Now, you can do this exercise, but at some level, without God, it doesn't work. It's hard to find something to be grateful for when you're treated unjustly and violated. But in Christ Jesus, we have the resources to be grateful in all circumstances. We know that God is present with us. We know that God is the God of justice. We know that God cares and loves us so much that he was willing to die for us. We know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him. Remember Romans chapter 8, verse 28? But it gets confusing. I know, when there's so much pain and suffering, that the don't make any sense. How do we give thanks when it's so hard to find things to give thanks for? You know, here's one thing that I've been learning from the Lord lately. This is very fresh. But I feel like God has been saying to me, and I think it applies to this situation, trust in my character, not in your understanding of my methodology. I feel like God's been saying, I know, I want you to know that there is a limit to your understanding of how everything is going to work out for the good of those who love him, love me. I want you to know that there's a limit to your understanding of how I'm going to work out your sorrow and pain for something good. In fact, you're not going to understand it. Don't put your faith in your understanding of how I do things. Put your faith in me, my character, who I am. I feel like God's been saying, trust that God is in control. Trust that God will work out everything for the good of those who love him. It doesn't say that for those who figure out how God is going to do that. Just love him for who he is and give thanks. For us believers, we have the ultimate resource because we know that even the end of this life is not the end of the story. There is eternal life. There is the coming of the kingdom of God in its fullness. There will be a resurrection. There will be ultimate justice. So that's what it means to give thanks in all circumstances. Third, how do we practice gratitude? And here's the good news. Gratitude is something we can learn. It's not dependent on circumstances. Anyone can intentionally cultivate gratitude as a spiritual practice. Gratitude is not just feeling that comes to you when good circumstances come to you. Because if that's the case, you know, gratitude is a very limited practice for some of us. Gratitude is a posture, a way of life, a response to God's beauty and a love and your faith in God's character that leads you to live your life graciously and generously. You know, but I know there are obstacles to practicing gratitude. I think one obstacle is that we're so busy and distracted. We just miss things, you know. We just forget to say things. I forget to say things. We might even think about saying thanks to God or to people. But as soon as we get to another email or text or another something else, we forget all about it. And I think another obstacle is that we have a hard time noticing anything that is negative, anything but the negative. I'm sorry. We can experience hundreds of things to be thankful for. But that one driver who cut you off and was really rude to you snuffs out all the other positive things that you've experienced. Only thing in your mind is that negative experience, that negative event. Is that just me or, I don't know, do you do that too? I think another obstacle is that we get used to things. You know, when you got your first car, remember how thankful you were? But now you just get used to it. Your spouse, your home, your job, your kids make you thankful, but now you're just used to them. Same old, same old. Another obstacle is envy. I think it's hard to be happy with what you have when you're constantly comparing what you have with other people who have more or better. There's always someone who's got more than you, better than you, or prettier than you, or stronger than you. I think the biggest obstacle is pride, though. And one way that pride comes out is our reluctance to acknowledge our dependence on others and God. We like words like self-reliance and independence. And we have a tendency to think that the success that we have experienced or things that we're so-called thankful for are all because of hard work. So why should I thank God for getting that job? You know, I worked hard to get the grade, to get into that school, to get that job. I know we say give lip service to God, but we really are not thankful to God in our heart. In our heart, there's a sense of entitlement that says, whatever I got, I earned, I deserve this, I had it coming. We have to stop the delusion of this entitlement. Instead, we have to acknowledge that I was born in a certain place, a certain race, a certain socioeconomics, a certain family, a certain country, et cetera, largely. All these things, you know, I didn't have any control over. You had some control over things that happened in your life, but there's a lot of things that you had no control over. And those things form who you are and what you have. How do we practice gratitude in a way that overcomes this pride, in a way that overcomes these obstacles that I mentioned? Let me just give you a few suggestions. This is an area that I'm growing in. I'm frankly not as good as I want to be. In fact, I'm not very good with these practices. And I'm sort of preaching this to myself as I'm preaching this to you. So I want you to know that. I want to invite you to practice, enter into these practices with me. First, I want us to remember to remember. I love this quote from a blog I read about the spiritual practice of gratitude. He said, a thread that runs through all these practices is memory. Ingratitude is a matter of forgetfulness. We forget what others have done for us weeks, years, and centuries ago. We forget the moment of joy we experienced just 1 minute back. We forget all the good we have in our lives and how we're not entitled to it. We forget that memory is moral. You know what? I love that. You know, in addition to that, we forget what God has done for us. You know, do you know why Jesus taught us to do communion every time we gather? Every time we eat, he said to do it. We call it the Eucharist, right? To remember what he has done for us. That is why. Do you know what the word Eucharist means? It actually literally means to give thanks. He instituted the communion, the Eucharist, so that we would remember to give thanks for what he has done. And that will lead us to embrace one another better out of thankfulness. So remember to remember. Secondly, do a daily gratitude list. Make it a practice to write down, whatever, 10 things that you're grateful for each day. Don't just think about big and obvious things. Think about small and surprising things. Learn to give thanks in all circumstances. Put on the glasses of expanded reality. See with the eyes of faith in God's character, even when you don't understand exactly what God is doing. You know, in the Recovering in Spirit, New Cities Recovery Ministry, that meet on Friday night at 5:30 p.m. in the same bat channel, same Zoom link, they always start out with gratitudes. I love that. Everyone has to share 3 gratitudes, and no one could repeat a gratitude someone else has said. And sometimes they do as many as 3 rounds of gratitude. And so people are forced to think with an expanded view of reality, with the eyes of faith, because they have to be creative in what they're thankful for. They sometimes have to come up with 9 things that no one has said. It's a great way to practice gratitude communally. And I also encourage you to be creative in the way you practice gratitude in your community, in your grow and serve group. You know, some of you do gratitude through Facebook or Instagram posts. I see Brenda sometimes asking people to list their gratitude. So think about doing this, creating a practice intentionally. Be creative in doing these gratitude lists. And the more you do them, the more you build up muscles of gratitude. Third, practice the daily examine. You know, I lead this every day at 10 p.m. on Facebook Live. You can go to New City Church's Facebook Live and you'll see it, or you can come to mine, you'll see it. This is generally not a communal practice, but I made it into a communal practice. It's usually a practice that people engage in at the end of the day. And one of the things they're called to meditate on is on gratitude, what to thank God for. And so you're creating intentional time and space to do this. It becomes a spiritual practice that builds muscles so that you can have this posture as a way of life. And I want to invite you to join me for examine at 10 p.m. every day. Just do it with me. Fourth, fast. Fast from things that you take for granted, that you like. That's good. This spiritual practice helps you appreciate it again. You know, if you don't eat for a while, you're going to appreciate what you eat a little bit more. So that's the idea. Fifth, serve. Serve out of a thankful heart. I wonder how many people burn out from their jobs or volunteering because of the lack of gratitude. Maybe lack of gratitude from the supervisor or the leader. Maybe lack of posture of gratitude on your part. I think fostering a heart of gratitude is critical for serving in a church. If you just do it out of obligation or even out of a good heart to help people, but you don't have a posture of gratitude in your life, you might mess things up for yourself, especially, and really get burned out. Practicing gratitude is self-care so that you can sustain your ministry in a church. And I want to see people in the church not just serve and burn out, but kind of learn to serve in a way that is sustainable, that comes from your heart. And developing this, this posture of gratitude is critical for that. Lastly, give. Steward the resources that God has given you with gratitude. Know that God has entrusted you with these resources, not for your self-indulgence. Yes, God wants you to appreciate and savor the blessings. But remember, God calls you to be gracious and generous, just as he was gracious and generous to you. Gratitude is the heart of stewardship. And out of gratitude, we give. You know, for me, I've been thankful for our church. That's one of the things that a constant rhythm. I'm thankful for you, each member of the church. I'm thankful for people who are committed to the church. I'm thankful for where God is guiding this church. I'm thankful for the vision that God has given. I believe that God is doing something really special in our community. And God is calling us to be people who bring people together in a way that's new, that's different, that recovers the heart of the gospel. I truly believe that. I truly believe that God is doing something beautiful in our church. And out of that gratitude, I'm called to invest into it. My heart, my energy, the three T's, time, talent, and treasure. God is calling us to do that. Now, I want us, before we end today, 30 minutes so far, so I got some time, I want us to engage in a practice today. We're going to actually do the prayer request at the end, chatting up the prayer request. But right now, I want to ask you to take a moment to chat up your Thanksgiving. Three things that you are thankful for, not just one, but three things that you are thankful for. I want to force you to be thoughtful and put it up in the chat. We're not going to read it all out, but this will be a way of practicing gratitude. And I'm going to give you a moment, a minute of silence before we get started, okay? So that you have some time. And so let me see here. I have a little bell. Minute of silence, and then start chatting up your gratitude. Okay, let's chat up our gratitudes. So beautiful to see all the chats coming up, glancing through all the things that God has graciously given us. And to see the community respond in Thanksgiving. It's beautiful. Writing up gratitude and thinking of it is not just an exercise in futility. It is a critical exercise that builds up muscles to one of the most important postures for all of us. Gospel posture of Thanksgiving. Would you join me in a word of prayer? Lord, Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you, O Lord. All of the Thanksgiving that have been presented to you, we thank you, O Lord, from our hearts. Lord, build up muscles of thanksgiving. Help us to give thanks in every circumstance. Help us to put on those glasses of reality so that we can see the expanded view of reality, not just these things that we're in a tunnel vision about. Help us to see all of reality. Help us to see your presence. Help us to see your goodness. Help us to see your character, who you are, even when we don't understand exactly how things are going to work out and why things are the way it's going. But Lord, help us to put our trust in you, the character of you, that you are God of justice, God of love, God who meets our needs. So Lord, Help us to give thanks and help us to build up muscles, oh Lord. Help us to be creative in the way we do so, oh Lord. Especially during this Thanksgiving week, oh Lord, help us to dedicate ourselves to Thanksgiving, not just eating turkey, not just feeling lonely that we can't eat turkey with our family, but Lord, just developing a habit, oh Lord, developing muscles of living with the posture of Thanksgiving. Guide us, thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.